I'd like to welcome you all again to the Atlanta Real Estate Prayer Breakfast. We're going to go ahead and get started. I'm excited to be here with you all today and get a chance to participate in this great tradition for the Atlanta real estate community. I have the privilege of introducing our first speaker today. This is someone who has not only been a professional mentor to me, but also a personal role model. This would be my dad, Bo Jackson. Bo has a number of notable accomplishments for his work in the commercial real estate industry in Atlanta, the Southeast, and throughout the US. But more importantly, he is known as a man of character and a man of faith. His integrity, pursuit of excellence, wisdom, selflessness, and grace towards others really make it evident in his life that his life is one that's focused on Christ. My dad has a unique ability of not only communicating, but demonstrating his faith in a really authentic way. Many of you who have a relationship with him have experienced this sincerity of heart. For me personally, it is this steadfast faith as well as his honesty that really has served as the cornerstone of my own walk as I've grown into a young adult. So for that, I'm very grateful. So today, he is here to share a little bit of his journey, his walk, and his heart with all of you. So with that, I'd like to welcome Bo Jackson to the stage and wish him a very happy birthday today.
That was awesome.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
That was a, Coach, that was an audible. The chapter of my life story that I'm going to share with you this morning, it's not a script I would have ever written for myself. But perhaps like you, I often have to be reminded it's not about me. And as Emily said, for the last 20 years, I've had an extremely close relationship with God. But that relationship became a whole lot more personal when our 16-year-old son Parker died. And I just want to give you a warning. This story doesn't have a pretty little bow on it, but here's what it does have, and this is what I am going to give you. Encouragement and hope. Encouragement and hope. And it's a privilege for me to be standing here in front of you today to be able to share with you God's personal love for me and my family before and during and after what is every parent's worst nightmare. And my hope is that something you hear this morning will touch your heart and change your life and will encourage you to get to know our loving God deeper. Some of you came to Parker's memorial service, and if you did, you got a chance to see Parker publicly profess his faith to Jesus Christ. It was the most important decision of his life, and it was one that he made on his own. And I'd like to share that moment with you all right now. So let's hear from Parker.
Hi there, I'm Parker Jackson, a freshman attending Milton High School. And ever since I came here to North Point Community Church 8 years ago, I've enjoyed hearing Andy speak and going to small groups and making strong relationships. The time that I felt that my sins were being forgiven and that I knew that Jesus was here to help me and just forgive me for my sins was when my brother got baptized, and I felt like I really wanted what he had. Coming to this church has just allowed me to build strong relationships. And I feel that through Christ, I can make wiser decisions and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Being baptized allows me to be more public about my spirituality and just share Jesus with my friends and just people that I meet at school. And so I'm here today to publicly profess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Parker, thanks for your story, and it's so neat to see your brother's impact in your life, and Thanks today for being here and being that impact and maybe that spark into someone else's life. And just your role now is to reflect God in your life, as you spoke about in your video. And because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's a pleasure to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Our pastor, Andy Stanley, said it best at Parker's service when he said, "Parker's not with God because he was a good kid and not because he was a great kid. Parker is eternally with God because he was a forgiven kid." And before we really get rolling here, I just need to make a confession. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I have wonderful parents, but they weren't Christians, and I was clearly not a Christian. In fact, I was a hockey puck. I was a hockey player, and beer pong and listening to the Rolling Stones were kind of pretty much my life. And then there was college, and that was more of the same. I was the least likely to get drafted onto God's team. But I will just tell you this. I think that's something I better say for a different audience, actually. Let's fast forward a few years. I'm into my 20s, and I met Lauren, and we started dating. And Lauren, who's here at our table, thanks for joining me on this journey. I wouldn't do this solo. Thank you. We were at dinner early in our dating period, and I asked her, I said, "You seem to have a really strong set of principles by which you live by. Where did that come from? How do you have that?" And she reached for a napkin and she drew on it JC in a circle with some arrows through it. And just like that. And she said, "I have Jesus Christ at the center of my life. And that's the filter in which I run all my life decisions through. And it's my life compass." And I remember thinking, "Rut-row." Like I said, I was a hockey puck. Well, I was also a maverick. And so giving up my independence to be with somebody else in marriage, that was a huge step for me. But the concept of surrendering your life to somebody invisible, that was unthinkable. But something had to give. I was falling in love with Lauren. And sure enough, a year later, we were married. Soon, Emily arrived. We bought our new home, we went to church, we both had great jobs. Life was good. Our life was really good. And then a few years later, a guy named Bogue Miller, and Bogue is also at our table this morning, invited me to a dinner, Lauren and I to a dinner. And there was a businessman speaking, and he was very successful. He was talking about success, ambition, and achievement. And I love that kind of stuff. And then he gets into the jet and the exotic cars, and I'm going, "I love this stuff." And he had the Rolex on. I'm going, "I love this stuff." And it was really rolling right up to the point where the entire storyline changed. And he said one morning he went to wake up his teenage daughter, and she was dead in bed. And he said at that moment he realized that his toys and his status and his success weren't going to bring her back, and they weren't going to get him through. And he said he wrestled with the most important question of his life, which was, who do I believe in, and what do I believe in? Who do I believe in, and what do I believe in? And it was really the first time in my life, to be honest with you, that all the stuff I thought I wanted and I needed, I realized wasn't the right stuff. And the dinner ended with an invitation to accept Christ as your personal Savior. And I was curious. The timing was good. I was a little tired of flying solo, to be honest with you. And I thought, I'm all in. And I accepted Christ that night. And I wish I could tell you that, you know, the skies parted and there was a large clap of thunder and God said, "Welcome to the club, Bo." None of that happened. And I'm thinking, I did accept him, didn't I? But here's what I couldn't see. What I couldn't see was how God was about to really grow my faith. And one of the first steps in growing my faith was actually just getting closer to a good friend I already had in Sunday school class. Imagine that. Somebody that a lot of you knew, Mark Christopher. And back in the day, Mark and I used to take some pretty sweet boondoggles, skiing and golf, chief among them. And a lot of times when we'd be in the golf cart or on a chairlift, Mark would start talking about this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I started watching Mark's life and how he modeled his faith and how he walked the walk and how he was a great husband to Nancy and a wonderful father to Logan and Coleman. And I remember thinking, that's what I want. I want what Mark has. Chris White, senior of Leadership Ministries, who's also at our table, was instrumental in growing my faith. And he has a Friday morning men's Bible study that I would go to. And he's got a gift at taking the Bible and bringing it alive in a story and applying the principle to your day-to-day living. And then what was really cool is you'd break it down into tables after that, so you get to interact with some other men. And eventually, if you were good enough, you could become a teacher, which I got promoted to after a while. And that's when the growth really started happening, because you had to really read the Bible. But here's the thing. What was going on was my faith was starting to get incorporated into all of my life, as a husband, as a father. And the most important thing to me, though, the most important thing for me was I wanted my three children to know that it wasn't about me, that it was about their relationship with their Heavenly Father, and that it was about His will for their lives. And we used to have family meetings and kind of talk about this to try to figure out how to bake it into their DNA. And I will just tell you, it was like making sausage. It was ugly. It really was. Parker used to say, is this another one of those cheesy family meetings? But let me tell you something. What was fun is I said, well, Parker, let's see what's come out of this. And in March of 2005, we actually came up with a family mission statement. And I won't read it, but the first line just says, a God-centered marriage is the foundation of our family. And we had these on our mirrors, and we had them in our cars. And it was a way to remind us that we didn't have God compartmentalized over here in a box when we needed him. He was front and center. Tuesday, November 7th in 2006. It was a rainy day. It was a rainy night, too, a lot like this morning. And I was in a lacrosse booster meeting, and my phone started vibrating and blowing up, and it was Lauren calling me repeatedly. I thought, no, that's one of those things you want to return. So I called her back, and she was very concerned that Parker was 45 minutes late to see his girlfriend. I became concerned because he was a typical 16-year-old. He was never late to see Diana. Never. So I called him, and I didn't get an answer. And then Lauren beeped back in on my phone and said she'd called the police department to see if there'd been an auto accident in our area. And they confirmed that there was one on New Providence Road. It was a sedan. And I immediately bolted out of that meeting and started driving down New Providence Road. And I'm dialing Parker's number, but he's not answering. And I'm repeating in my head, Parker, be safe and be strong. Dialing the phone, Parker, be safe and be strong. And I'm almost at the end of New Providence Road, and I kind of exhale thinking, okay, I've passed the worst of it. There is no accident. And I come over this last hill, and all I can see is blue lights, red lights, green lights. It looked like a Hollywood disaster set. And I pulled over, and I jumped out of my car, and this police officer ordered me back into my car, and I looked and I said, that's my son's car, crushed against that tree. And I'm looking at a Volvo that we'd bought Parker 100 days ago on his 16th birthday, and it had been crushed into this tree. And I run over to the driver's side to see what kind of injuries he's got, and he's not there. He's not in the car. So naturally, I look at the cop and I go, what hospital did you take him to? Where is he? And he looks me right in the eye, laser focused, and he goes, sir, your son did not make it. And my brain literally could not process what I just heard. It was like everything started going slow motion and surreal. And I remember saying, that's not my reality. That's a line you hear in a movie. But that's not my life, and that's not my son you're talking about. And I said, do you mean to tell me that my son died? And he looked at me again, and he said, yes, sir, your son died in that car tonight. And I'm telling you, it was like a bolt of lightning struck my heart, shattered me, and I was on the ground. And I was just convulsing in tears. My nightmare had begun. And in a few moments, Lauren and Ben, who was 12 at the time, and by the way, Emily and Ben, thank you so much for being here this morning. Ben showed up with Lauren, and we stood there. We literally stood there shell-shocked, not knowing what our next step in this new reality was going to be. And Lauren somehow has the presence to look at me, and she goes, "I refuse to let Parker's death destroy our family." The devastation and depression that we experienced is indescribable. I mean, our biggest accomplishment of a day would literally be getting out of bed and putting our feet, one foot in front of the other, and walking out to the mailbox to get mail and notes from people who cared enough about us to write and express compassion to us. And then we'd read those at night crying in front of the fireplace. And tons of you in this room, in this real estate community, you wrote to us. You loved on us. You prayed for us. And I will tell you this. I was the most hugged real estate guy in Atlanta. You guys were awesome. And I have waited 5.5 years to be able to reach out to you and just say thank you so very much for what you did for me and my family and the encouragement you gave us. I realized at this point that I needed to figure out how to get my life pulled back together in some way. And I started reading the Bible, obviously. And I was really looking for evidence that God would not desert me in my darkest hours and days. And I was looking to trust the God that I'd read about, that I'd gotten to know over the last 20 years, was going to save me. That he was going to somehow encourage me to keep putting one foot in front of the other when I couldn't see any path in front of me. And I clung to passages, Bible passages, that would boost my faith at that time. And you heard Parker in his baptism. Philippians 4:13 was his favorite. And this is it. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And I had to lean on that because I was so broken. I mean, I was so broken that literally I'd look out the window in the morning at a sunrise and go, "There's God." Or a sunset at the end of the day and go, "Thank you, God, you're here." And at night, I'd walk outside and I'd just stare at the stars and I'd be asking questions. But the truth is, I just wanted Parker back. One thing became really clear to me. If I was going to remain a positive influence in my family as a husband and as a father and just as a person, I was going to need to have God remain central in my life, just like he had years ago when Lauren wrote on that napkin, JC in the center. And interestingly, the Bible stories that I started to gravitate towards were the ones where God would show up. And those really came alive for me. And the deeper I dove into the Bible, the stronger I started to feel I was becoming one of those Bible characters, persevering in faith when there was really no evidence of God being present. And I started to sense that my life events were part of something bigger than me, that God was actually inviting me into his larger story, that somehow he wanted to use my tragedy and my weakness for his glory. And I could feel that he was confirming, "I am not going to forsake you, and I am not going to leave you. I am going to love you through your worst nightmare." And even when I asked God, "But God, why didn't you save Parker? Why didn't you save Parker?" He answered me. He said, "Bo, I did save Parker. I've got him right here with me." I've got a ton of stories of evidence where God showed up in the middle of this tragedy. And there's one of my favorite ones, and some of you have heard this, but I'm going to share it with you. What the day before what would have been Parker's 17th birthday, we had a bunch of his buddies up to the lake, and we had one of those great days doing exactly what we would have done if Parker was there. And it felt like he was there. I mean, it really did. Right up until the point where everybody left, and when those kids left, you could just feel the energy leave and Parker's absence return. And I decided, this is at the end of the day, I'd have a shower, and I'm in the shower, and I literally got so overcome with grief. It was like the night he died. I was crying in the shower. And I decided I wanted to have a conversation with God. And actually, it was a confrontation with God. And I said, I need something from you. If you are the loving God that you say you are, I want you to prove to me that you have my son, that he knows how much I miss him, and he knows how much we love him. And I need that from you. And I didn't tell my family about that little incident that night, but the next morning, Lauren and I jumped in a canoe on what would have been Parker's 17th birthday. We're on this lake, and it was postcard perfect. I mean, you know, the lake's asleep, the mist is coming up, and we paddled into this cove. And we noticed something out of the corner of our eye, and we looked up, and right above us was this red-tailed hawk. And he circles maybe 5 or 6 times to make sure that we knew he was there on purpose. And he's banking his turns like this. So the sunrise was shooting through his majestic red-tailed feathers. Lauren turns to me. She's in the bow of the boat, tears coming down her face. And she says to me, can you believe on Parker's birthday, his favorite animal of all time shows up? I'm a mess thinking, I can't believe how fast God showed up to demonstrate he's right here with me. And I said, sweetheart, I got to tell you the rest of this story. Now, I will admit to you, that event, it didn't erase my grief, and it didn't change my questioning why the accident. But here's what it did do. It definitely affirmed that God was with me. And I took a lot of comfort in the peace that gave me. And one of my Bible passages that I really like is Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. My life since Parker died, it's been a pilgrimage of sorts. It is, it's been very good. It's been very rich. And like I said, it's not the script I would have written. It's hard to explain, and it's even harder to really sort of fathom the whole thing. And I don't have a cute little clever recipe and solution on how to overcome something this devastating. In fact, our family uses a sports metaphor. We say we're playing the rest of our lives injured. But if this was the only world there is, then death and suffering would win. And I believe in the depth of my soul that God wins. And that's because God loved us so much, he sacrificed his only son for me, for you, and for all of mankind forever. And that makes sense to me because Christ is the only man that defeated death with his resurrection. And it's because of that fact that I have total peace and trust in who I place my life in. And like I said at the beginning of this talk, here's what I want for everyone in this room. I want you to experience the kind of love that I experienced. I want you to experience God's love. And regardless of where you are in your faith or your religion, I want to encourage you to take a step. Maybe it's your first step. It's probably a big step, but I want to encourage you to take it. I want you to get to know God and his son, Jesus Christ. And here's the good news. You don't need a disaster in your life to experience it. His love's free. It's unconditional. And all you have to do is accept it. Thank you so much.